Hey, welcome to All Things Nursing with Nurse Choma. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast episode. So today we're going to talk about the NCLEX. And this is actually a teaching that I recently did where I talked about content comprehension on the test. So one of the things that people tell me all the time is they just struggle with, retaining the information. It's so much information. How do I retain it? Why am I not retaining it? Excuse me, what can I do differently? So that's what this episode is all about. So I really want you to listen closely. Hopefully you'll get the aha moment and you'll begin to apply it to your studying. So go and listen to this episode. All right, so thank you to those that are listening to this on listen to this. So today I'm going to talk to you about content on the NCLEX, right? Content on the NCLEX, and just kind of giving you a brief overview of how to better understand, better retain the content on the exam. Now, what I want to start off by saying is that for many of you, the reason why you may struggle with the content on the test or learn the content is because you feel overwhelmed because you're trying to learn a lot of information at the same time, right? You're trying to consume as much as you can simultaneously versus looking for consistencies or similarities that will help you to better retain the information. So if you, and this is something that comes through practice and through time, but if you can begin to look for how things are similar, look for how things are consistent, look for how things are the same, you'll notice you'll have a better grasp, a better retention on the information. Another thing as well is to pay attention to the sequence of something. So, for example, if you notice most disease processes are identified through risk factors, right? Meaning that something has to happen in order for something else to occur, right? So if somebody has certain types of other problems, there's an increased likelihood for them to have something else. So in other words, there's a sequence. So think about the same time when you were in elementary school or middle school or just growing up, and you learned, one, two, three. You learned the ABCs, right? And it was something that was ingrained into you over and over again. And there was a sequence, an order of how you learned it. And because you learned it in a specific sequence or order, that's why you retained it. That's why you remembered it. So in the same regard, what the one of the fastest or the best ways to really understand the content is to look for the sequence. Look for the, okay, what's the order that I need to consume respiratory diseases? Or what's the order that I need to consume in order to understand, like, procedures, for example. So if you look for the sequence in something, you'll notice that you will retain it a lot faster. And that's like one really strong tip. So in order for you to master or comprehend diseases, right, try to identify the overview first, then the diseases. All right, I'll explain what I mean by that. So try and look for the general picture first, and then look for the details afterwards. So the reason why people feel, overwhelmed is because you start with the details first and then you forget and then feel frustrated and challenged. But if you look for the overview first, you'll notice that it will become more natural. So this is one thing that's really, really important is that I try to, whenever I'm teaching or breaking things down, or even if I'm learning something brand new, I examine, okay, what's the general synopsis of this information? So, for example, if I was talking about, the heart, or I should say, like, heart problems, And let's say I'm talking about CHF or some type of heart problem. Before I even focus on CHF, I would want to know, okay, what's the overview of the heart? What's the makeup of the heart itself? How does the heart normally work, right? What are the parts of the heart? So I would first study the overview, and then that would then next help me to understand the actual disease process itself, right? The details. So one of the fastest ways to really grasp the content is to look for the overview. L don't start with the don't start with the details. Start with, okay, what's the basics? Then what's after that? Then what comes after that? Like, look for how it's chronological. So in even for example, like if let's say I'm trying to understand Addison's versus Cushing's disease, right? So a lot of people do is that you'll start off with studying Addison's or studying Cushing's disease, and then you may confuse the two or mix up the signs and symptoms. You'll read something and then you'll forget it, later, even though you just finished looking at it. Versus backtracking and identifying, okay, well, what's the first thing I need to know before I understand Addison's in the first place? How do what's the sequence of grasping this information first? How do I backtrack? So if we was to backtrack, this is what it would kind of look like when it comes to Addison's versus Cushing's. Number one, the first thing is we was first look at hormones, right? Because Addison's versus Cushing's would fall under more endocrine disorders, right? So we would first go back and first look at hormones, period. So and endocrine disorders are more hormone driven. So the first thing is like, okay, understanding what are hormones first, right? So I'm learning the sequence. What are hormones first? So identifying what hormones are. So and that would help me to first grasp the basics. So hormones typically it's something that the body secretes that produces some type of reaction, right? It can produce a reaction or it can decrease a reaction. Right, so that in a sense, that's what hormones are. So that's the first thing. I would first understand what's hormones first. Then after that, then the next part would be, okay, what organs produces that hormone? Right. So first, now I'm understanding. Okay, what? So now I know what hormones are. What type of which organs in the body releases specific hormones? So one very significant organ, I'm sorry, one very significant hormone in relating to Addison's and Cushing's is cortisol, right? So cortisol is that hormone. Cortisol is the hormone that is the consistency, here it is, between Addison's and Cushing's disease. So cortisol is also known as the stress hormone. That's what cortisol is. It's a stress hormone. So when the body releases cortisol, it's under a level of stress. And think about when you're stressed, what is the body, what do you, what's naturally going to happen if the body's under stress? Naturally, things are going to go up. Blood pressure is going to go up. Heart rate's gonna go up, right? Blood sugar will go up, right? All these things are gonna elevate because the body's under stress. That's why too much stress is bad. So that's already helping me to understand, and cortisol is released by the adrenal glands, okay? The adrenal glands, which are located on top of the kidneys, and there's two of them. So kind of like to simplify it one more time, is before I understand Addison's versus Cushing's, let me, okay, what do I need to first learn and know or grasp before I can understand these two diseases? Okay, they fall under endocrine disorders. Okay, how are endocrine disorders identified as? They're identified through hormones. Okay, what's the significant hormone that is consistent between Addison's and Cushing's? Cortisol. Okay, what's cortisol? Cortisol is a stress hormone. When the body releases cortisol, the stress hormone, it causes things to elevate. And so naturally, because you already know what stress is, your mind is naturally going to be able to associate stress and elevation. You see what I mean? So naturally, your mind's going to associate things increasing because of stress. Now that I understand that, now I look at Addison's versus Cushing's. So starting with Cushing's, actually, Cushing's is pretty much the overproduction, or overproduction of the secretion of cortisol. So now it's like, oh, okay. Well, then that means with Cushing's, everything must go up then. That means if somebody has Cushing's, their blood pressure is raised. If somebody has Cushing's, their blood sugar is raised. If somebody has Cushing's, because now I'm able to associate in that step, if somebody has Cushing's, their weight, they're going to have more weight on, right? And then, of course, that means their sodium levels, their electrolytes are raised. You see how this is making sense? Because I'm learning things in the sequential order. And I'm understanding that the pathophysiology is producing too much of cortisol. That's Cushing's disease in a nutshell. Okay? Now this is the part where I would do a little bit more studying, and I would recognize, okay, based on the symptoms that says in my textbook or wherever I'm reading from or studying from, it also says that Cushing's disease is associated with like them having like a hunchback, like a humpy back type of thing, like as far as like more weight on top and less on the bottom. So and it also shows that sometimes they have like these stretch marks on their legs, etc. And then another thing too is that because the body is producing so much cortisol, it actually causes the body to break down a lot of amino acids. So this is why these patients, they're not getting adequate nutrition, so their protein levels are low. Bam. I just grasped Cushing's disease. Now, the only thing that's different with Cushing's, though, is that the potassium is low. All right? Everything is high, but the potassium is low. So now what I'm doing, I'm identifying, okay, what are additional factors that is unique to Cushing's disease. All right? So first I learned that it's endocrine. Then I learned the hormone, what hormones are. Then I learned what the hormone is, cortisol. Then I learned how cortisol reacts when it's high or low. Then I learned what happens with Cushing's, with too much of it. And then I learned any additional factors unique to Cushing's. Now let's talk about Addison's disease. So Addison's disease is producing too little of cortisol. So if I know that cortisol is a stress hormone and it's producing too little of cortisol, then I'm gonna anticipate, or I'm going to assume that everything's gonna be the opposite. Right? Now everything's gonna be decreased because we're producing too little. So here, the blood pressure is low, the heart rate is low, their weight is low, all their electrolytes are low. However, though, and now here I'm looking at, okay, what are additional factors unique to Addison's disease, the only difference is that the potassium is elevated. So this is kind of like my level up method, or I should say, actually, I should probably give this a different name actually. This is kind of like my method as far as how to learn something. So you see now, if you learn it the way I just explained it just now, do you see how you'll retain stuff faster versus trying to consume everything simultaneously and then it's not really breaking down, right? So this is essentially like what I'm trying to show you today is that if you can begin to implement this more and more, you'll notice that you'll learn the stuff faster. Let's do another one. Let's do kidney disorders. Okay? So let's say, for example, we're talking about end-stage renal disease. Okay? End-stage renal disease. So before I start to learn everything about end-stage renal disease, let me backtrack. What's the sequential order in or before for me to understand end-stage renal disease before I get to that point? Okay, first I need to know that end-stage renal disease, and if you could share this, please share this as well. End-stage renal disease it falls under renal disorders, right? So now, okay, what do I need to understand about renal disorders? Renal disorders has a very specific function when it comes to the kidneys, right? So now I'm going to understand, okay, well, what's the functions of the kidneys, right? What's the functions of the kidney, or what I should say, of the urinary system? So this is the biggest thing. If you can, knowing the functions is the fundamentals. I'm going to say that one more time. Knowing the functions is the fundamentals. So if you struggle with the fundamentals, I'm sorry, if you struggle with retention of diseases, it means you struggle with fundamentals. So you ha sometimes it comes back to the basics, you know? So what are the functions of the kidneys or the urinary system? We're looking at one, the removal, these are just some of them, not all of them. One, the removal of waste from the body, right? It gets rid of waste. Urea, uric acid to be specific. Two, it regulates the electrolytes, right? So it regulates the movement of sodium, potassium, and calcium in and out of the body. They also, in turn as well, affects acid-base balance, so homeostasis. And then another really important one too is it helps to control the blood pressure, right? The blood volume and the blood pressure. Okay, so those are some of the functions of the kidneys, of the urinary system. Once you have that grasped, right? Once you grasp that, now you can move on to, okay, now let's go to the next thing, which is understanding end-stage renal disease. So end-stage renal disease is pretty much the end, right? The progressive failure of the kidneys. So if I know that the normal function of the kidneys is to remove waste, is to get rid of the electrolytes, is to maintain the blood pressure, that means if they have a renal disorder that's progressive, that's at the end stage, I can, here it is, here's that keyword now, I can anticipate that they're not going to be able to get rid of waste. They're not going to be able to maintain their electrolytes. They're not going to be able to maintain their blood pressure. So this is why your patients who have renal disease, they have really elevated blood pressure. It's very hard to maintain their blood pressure. So they have to be on a lot of blood pressure medications. This is why your renal disease patients, because they can't get rid of waste, they retain toxins. That's why their skin color is so ashen, so like a dusty color, because they're retaining waste that the body should be releasing. And that waste is kind of, I would say, translating to the skin. This is why because they're not getting rid of electrolytes, their electrolytes are really elevated. So they tend to have really high, especially high, like all the electrolytes are elevated, but the one that's most concerning is the potassium. So their potassium levels tend to be through the roof. And here's the sequential order part. When you have high potassium, that causes dysrhythmias. So many times, patients' renal problems, they have atrial fib, atrial flutter, chronic dysrhythmias. So that's why they're also on medications for to handle dysrhythmias. And the last thing, like I said earlier, that's why their blood pressure is elevated, their electrolytes are high, and that's why they need dialysis. Because the dialysis helps to get rid of everything that the kidneys is supposed to be doing. Do you see how the order that I just went through with that information? Right? So now what happens is that now when you see a question, and it's a scenario, the answer is more obvious, right? Versus like, oh, what did I memorize? No, you know the next thing when it says, what do you do first? What do you do next? Well, because you've been studying and because you've been reviewing things from a chronological sequence, you're able to identify what to do next. You're able to identify what to do first. You're able to identify the initial response because that's the way you've been studying. So that's why you struggle with priority questions. That's why you struggle with certain type of questions because that's not the way you've been learning up until the exam. And then that's why there's a disconnection between the content and the questions because you're still trying to memorize versus understanding the order or the process of things. So going back to the kidney disease, now when you see a question related to, kidney disorders, now it's or like a scenario that would point it out. It would, A. No, we need to first check their blood pressure. Duh, because I understand that these patients, their blood pressure tends to be high and elevated. So yeah, it's definitely A. Right? Oh, you know what? Of course, I would anticipate they're not going to urinate because that's one of the functions of the kidneys. You see what I mean? Like the answers become so obvious when you understand the order of things. And this goes back to the nursing process, right? And I think that's one of the things a lot of people forget about is the whole purpose of the nursing process is for you to process things in a specific order. And once you begin to do that, then you'll know, like versus trying to just learn a bunch of information. But and there's nothing wrong with taking notes. Notes is important, but if you're only just consuming notes, but you're not actually getting in order, then you're wasting your time actually. That's the reality. If you're writing notes, but you're not actually like grasping, okay, so if this happens, that means then this will happen. So that's why I always do this. You see that? So this is the reality is when you start to master the order of what you're learning, you'll notice how quickly you will understand the information. You'll notice how easily you'll recognize what to do first, who to see next, all those type of questions in order because you're looking at the process of something, not the actual facts.
Thank you so much for listening to that episode. I hope that you found it entertaining or enlightening or informative. And then if you want to know more about myself or who we are, what is Choosing Nursing, you can always visit our website, which is www.choosingnursing.net, or just click below this episode for more details. And you can learn more about us, whether you are a nursing student, you're an aspiring nurse, a nursing graduate, you're trying to pass your boards, or a working nurse, we have something for you. So visit our website for more information. And then if you want to get my book, which is called How to Become a Registered Nurse. How to Become a Registered Nurse. It's available on Amazon. And you can find it there. You can also see it on our website as well. All right. Thank you so much for listening. And I'll see you on the next episode.